been 8 weeks on this series entitled Walking in Newness of Life. And the text verse that we've been using is Romans 6:4, as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Everybody say newness of life. Because it's been such a while since we've spoken on these first three steps of how do we walk in newness of life, knowing, reckoning, presenting, and then the fourth one, which we might get into today, but probably next week, walking. These four steps that Romans 6 and Romans 8 teaches us, how do we walk in newness of life? Wave your hand at me if you would like to be in newness of life. Newness of life, another way to say newness of life, you're walking in a practical walk where eternal life is manifesting. Newness of life is not natural life. It's eternal life manifesting in your natural body. Now, believe it or not, we don't have to wait to heaven to get eternal life manifesting. We have Zoe life right now. We have His life. Christ is our life. Now, Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Now, that's eternal life. He that has the Son, 1 John 5, has life. He that does not have the Son does not have life. And it's speaking about eternal life. So, do you have Jesus in you? Then you've got eternal life. Eternal life is not long life only, it's quality life. Eternal life is perfect life. It's God life. It's the life of God in us. Now, that life needs to manifest. How many of you like eternal life to manifest in your marriage? You think that'd make a difference in your marriage if you had eternal life, the life of Christ? How about in your physical body if you had mortality being swallowed up by immortality? You know, every time you get healed, that's immortality swallowing up mortal life. So just take a look at your life. In every area of your life, God wants Zoe life coming forth. And one of the great scriptures, John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for these reasons, to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came to give you life and to give it to you in abundance. The Amplified, most of you know it here. What does the Amplified? To the full, till it overflows. In abundance, okay? And so, newness of life is what we need to have. But if your testimony is a little bit like mine, it's been a struggle to tap into that newness of life at times. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are gone. Behold, all things are made new. But again, the natural history of most of us is that the promise and the walk, they don't always match, do they? How many of you have been frustrated that the things that you want to do, you don't do, and the things that you don't want to do, you end up doing? That's the Romans 7, where Paul says that he found a principle working in him, sin, this entity, not that he was just committing sins, but he had this thing, this monster within, this living thing called sin that was a part of his nature. And every person born on the earth has inherited this monster called the sin nature, the Adamic nature, the fallen nature, the old man. And so we've been having to learn how not to be schizophrenic. Some days we're walking in the old man, some days we're walking in the new man. And one time I told the Lord, I'm schizophrenic, God. And He led me to Romans 7, and I saw that Paul had that same issue. And we all have this same battle. If I let my mind go carnal, and carnal is not evil on the surface, but it is incredibly wicked. The human heart, talking about the carnal mind in Jeremiah 17, is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can possibly know it? You can't trust you if the you is carnal. If you haven't been in prayer and the Word of God, if you're thinking naturally, God says in Isaiah 55, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, for as the heavens are higher above the earth than, you know, so are my thoughts and my ways than yours. And so, Christian, know this. Even though you're a child of God, Galatians 4 says, and you own the whole estate, if you are still thinking like a child, you're no better than a servant. What that means is you can't be trusted, and God cannot manifest eternal life through you, or you won't be manifesting this life, because you're acting like a child. We need to grow up in the things of God to where that life can manifest. And so, newness of life. Everybody, just think about walking in the fullness of Jesus Christ. And so we found out that these steps that the Holy Spirit gives us in the book of Romans, in chapter 6 and chapter 8, this is how we're going to walk in newness of life. Okay? And there's certain things that if you don't do, it's an impossibility to walk in newness of life. Such as we have the mind of Christ. Think about this for a second. You have the mind of Christ. Are you operating in the mind of Christ? The Amplified says we have the mind of Christ, or the thoughts and feelings of Jesus. How are you coming to your decisions? Is it natural thoughts? Is it a natural, your human desires? Or are you embracing the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to get this mind of Christ where you can make decisions that you know are truly spiritual decisions? We'll get into this in Romans 8, how the carnal mind leads to death, but the spiritual mind leads to life and peace. So as just a little bit of a review, could we read Romans chapter 6? Romans chapter 6. We'll start in verse 1. Why this message? Because the hour that we're living, we need to have a church that is the light of the world, that is filled with love and power and strength and grace, that's walking in eternal life. The world needs that kind of church. The world does not need a religious church. It needs a Holy Ghost-filled body. Romans 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? So many Christians are still living in sin. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with Jesus through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Everybody say newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. See, these are the promises that now in this life we can walk like Christ. Knowing this, the first of our four principles of how to walk in newness of life, verse 6 tells us the first step. Knowing this, having a factual understanding of what God did in Christ on the cross with us, knowing this, that our old man, that sin nature, the fallen man, the Adamic nature, was crucified, past tense, with him, Christ. Do you know this today? How many of you know that your old man, that thing that maybe was manifesting this morning, and you and your spouse got in a fight on the way to church, that thing, God says, is dead. Knowing this, that old man that was active yesterday, God says, the divine facts, the divine revelation says that old man was crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be done away with. Done away with means unemployed. Put on the unemployment line. That we should no longer be slaves to sin. And so this was our first point 4 or 5 weeks ago, that you have to know, if you're going to walk in victory, that you have to know that old man that God put to death, the very thing that is causing us the trouble. God says he crucified it. Okay? Verse 8, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that He died, Jesus died to sin once for all, but the life He lives to God. Now verse 11 is the second of the four steps. Likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, and but alive unto God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have to know what Jesus did for us at the cross, that we were crucified with Christ, we died with Christ, we were buried with Christ. And here it tells us to reckon that fact to be true in our life. Right now, let's do it again. Let's lift our hands and let's thank God that our old man is dead. That he was crucified with Christ, buried with Christ in Jesus, never to come up. We have to keep him buried. And it says that we're now dead indeed to sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Verse 7. He that has died has been freed from sin. No matter what it looks like in your life, you have to believe the Word of God and acknowledge that you're dead in Christ. And that sin nature, you know it's dead by divine revelation. And then by faith, these first two steps go hand in hand. What you know, you can reckon immediately. There's no delay. What I know, by faith, I accept. I'm going to say it again. What I know, by faith, I'm going to accept. Now, guys, this is not sermonizing today. This is the Holy Ghost steps on how we can walk in victory. And this is not just picking out a word, you know, and giving you the... This absolutely, the Holy Spirit lays out how to walk in victory. How not to lean upon the natural man. You're going to fail every time. God does not want you to practice holiness out of the natural man. He wants you to learn that your whole life is Christ now. That He is our life. Okay? So, step one, you got to know that your old man is dead. Step two, you have to reckon him to be so. Then drop down to verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members... Everybody say members, as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Here is our third step, to present or to offer. Some translations say to yield yourself, but I like to present. I like to offer. I like the idea of offering yourself and presenting yourself. And it says that we, as being alive from the dead. Now, you know, you're dead. How many of you, if you died right now physically, and you were dead for 3 days, and God, Jesus raised you from the dead, do you think you'd have maybe a debt to owe Jesus? Think about it. You were dead for 3 days. And you were raised up from the dead, physically raised up and brought back on this earth. People that have these out-of-body experiences, some of them are of God, some of them are not. But those that I've listened to that I believe were of God, they are committed to living for God. They realize that they are now back from the dead, and that somehow clicks in them that they owe everything to God now. That their life, they owe to God. Well, shouldn't every Christian feel that way? We should not feel any different than a man who's been raised back from the dead. And this is what that verse is saying, that we literally are those that have been brought back from the dead. Okay? And it goes on to tell us, it says, present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. And your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So as we talked about, what does it mean to present yourself? Well, the Bible says in Romans 12 that I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, intelligent worship. That God is expecting something from us. Because of what he did and the price that he paid for us, it says that we have been bought with a price. You have been bought by the blood of Jesus. You're not your own. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. God owns us. We belong to him. And we need to acknowledge his ownership. Secondly, not only does he own us, but also I have to recognize that I've been brought back out of death. I mean, I was dead in trespasses and sins. And by the mercies of God, he raised me up out of that, made me a new creation. And now I live unto God as a new creation, and I owe him everything. I owe him everything. And so, do you remember when we talked about presenting? What does that mean? Once I know that my old man is dead, I reckon it to be so in my life. Then I also reckon that the resurrection happened for me too. When Jesus rose from the dead, he raised me up with him. And so what I'm presenting to him is not the old man, but I'm presenting the new man to him. How important is this? Here's how you do it. In prayer, first thing in the morning, this is what you do. You wake up and you say, "Good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Father. Good morning, Holy Spirit. I would like to say immediately today that I am yours. I belong to you. I acknowledge your ownership today." And you begin to get into prayer and you present yourself to him as a new creation person. You acknowledge that the old man is gone and now that you're walking in the new man, that new creation. And here's some things about presenting yourself. You have to know that there has to come a time in your life where you accept the Lordship of Jesus completely. The Lordship of Jesus is where you present yourself once a definitive, definite point where you say, "Here am I present myself to you. I am yours. I am not my own. I'm going to live now resurrected, this resurrection life as a new creation man. I present myself to you for assignment. What is it that you're calling me to do and to be? I am yours. I am worshiping you and presenting to you all my organs, all my faculties, all my body, soul, and spirit. I offer to you to be the body of Christ. I make this a solemn, holy commitment to you." Can we lift our hands right now? And let's thank the Lord that we can do that today. That we can present ourselves. This moment where you know that it's not some flippant thing that you're doing. It's not just some rash, quick thing. That you're acknowledging you're back from the dead. That you were dead. But God, by his mercy and grace, raised you up with Christ. Seated you with Christ in the heavenly places. That now this new life that we live in Christ, we owe everything to God, and that we owe our lives to him, that we're not our own, that the money in our pocket is not our own, that our eyes are not our own, our hands are not our own, that everything we are belongs to Jesus Christ. I am now the body of Christ. I'm not the body of Matt Storr. You don't use your body the way you want to. It's the body of Christ. We've been bought with a price. We owe God our lives. Don't let it be legalism, because when you realize that Matt Storr or you on your best day is worth less than nothing, but you get the honor of having Christ in you. Think about how cool it is for God to manifest in your life. For God to manifest in your body. For God to be able to use your mouth to say what he wants to do. I don't have more joy than when God has used me. Than when I have a moment where I know I was truly the body of Christ. So we did a wedding family in the church years ago. The Spady family. Jill Spady, the last of the three girls. Some of you know them. She was married yesterday to a wonderful young man, Christopher. Friday night, we're doing the rehearsal out in Temecula at some estate way out there in the wine country. And so I get there at 4 o'clock. That's when the rehearsal is supposed to start. 4 o'clock rehearsal. I'm there exactly at 4 o'clock. Now, it's an outdoor wedding, and it's got a huge canopy over it, probably, I don't know, the size of an acre. I mean, not quite that big, but real big. At least 300 seats could sit under this canopy. The grass almost looked like AstroTurf. It was such a cool thing. So I'm sitting there on this big area in a chair, one of 300 chairs, and nobody shows up. Except here comes this guy on a cane. He's 87 years old. And so I get him a chair, and I ask him who he was. Well, he happens to be the Jill's father's dad. So it's Jill's grandfather. He's 87. And he sits down, and my antenna starts to do this. How many of you are always looking for God to use you? You know, and so this is interesting. We chit-chat for a couple minutes. And I think it's very strange that there's nobody showing up. Within, I'd say, by the 5 minute mark, we are after it. I am sitting there debating an 87-year-old atheist. I mean, we're going into DNA. Within 5 minutes, it got, because he's a scientist, and he's saying, you know, I'm a scientist, and there's no proof of God. And I said, Herbert, there is proof of God. Have you heard about the human genome being cracked, right? In 2000, 3 billion base pairs. And for 20 minutes, nobody shows up at the rehearsal site. Nobody's there except Herbert and me. And at the end of it, he says, you know, I'm not trying to persuade you. I said, Herbert, but I wanted you to know I'm trying to persuade you. I'm trying to persuade you. Now, you'd have to be dumb, deaf, and blind not to know that God gave, that there was angels must have been working to keep everybody, you know, they were tripping some people. And I mean, you know, I mean, there was all kinds of things. Probably Christians were almost wanting to cuss. They were so mad they were stuck in traffic. But Herbert and I, we had that moment, that God moment where I was the body of Christ and the new creation, and the Holy Spirit could use my tongue and my mind and my lips and my heart of compassion and reach out to an atheist that nobody has been able to reach. Orthopedic surgeon, scientist, on his way to hell. But has found out from his son and his daughter at the wedding reception after the wedding that they've been praying for their dad for many years. And, you know, we didn't get him over into salvation. But I believe, can we just all agree, hold hands and thank God for Herbert's salvation. And thank God for Raymond's salvation. And thank God for those two gay men, their salvation. And Lord, we thank you that there were a dozen men and women there that were in desperate place that needed you. I just thank God for Judy Spady that invited those people. That she wanted them to be touched at this wedding. But what we have to present ourselves. How many of you, you're willing to present yourself afresh today and say, here am I, use me. Sacrifice an offering you would not, but a body thou hast prepared. As it is written in the volume of the book, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. We are the body of Christ. We have to be yielded to the Holy Spirit. Unlike the devil that will take possession against our will, and that's what demon possession is, a violent takeover, the Holy Spirit will not violently take you over. He waits to be asked. That's why Revelation 3:20, I knock at the door of your heart. If you will open up the door, I will come in and fellowship with you. God is our Father. We are His sons and daughters. The most natural thing that there is in our physical body is to breathe air, right? You breathe in air and you exhale. It's so natural for us to walk with the Holy Spirit. It should not be a hard thing. But when we don't present ourselves, that we're going to be out of step with the world, but as Watchman Nee said, most Christians are out of step with the world because they don't want to be all that worldly, but they have controversy still with God. Do you have a controversy with God today? Is there a controversy in your life? Is there some part of your life that you've not yielded or presented? Are you holding on to an area of the Adamic life? because you're accustomed to it or you like it. Surrender it today. Throw it down. God is going to fill your life with so much more joy and energy and strength than anything that you can do in the natural. We present ourselves today afresh. These three steps are so important that we understand, that we get this, we understand it, we know that our old man, that is the cause of all of our problems, was crucified. God did away with the old man. Will you accept it and then reckon it true in your life in spite of what your history says? And then will you rise up as a new creation man, not try and ask God to put a blessing on your life the way you are, but that you step forward and say, God, I acknowledge what you did. I know my old man is dead. I reckon it so. That's a faith word. By faith, I say my old man is dead. Now, as a new creation, alive unto you, raised from the dead in Christ, I present myself to you. I present my mind. I present my hands, my whole life, my money, my family. I present my everything I am, I give to you for you to possess, for you to own. Now, some of us are wanting his presence a lot. I mean, like, I see this a lot of times. I think a lot of times when people come up and get prayed for, I don't think that God's knocking them down all the time. I'm not going to say how much. I used to say 80% was make-believe. But the Lord spoke to me about that because it's not right for me to say 80% of people. But I guarantee you that many fall down simply because they fall down. And I talked to the Lord about this, and when we see that, I don't think they're trying to draw attention to themselves. I think they really are hungry for the presence of God for the most part. And so that's what they see sometimes. When people get touched by God, they fall down. Okay? Don't ever fake it. Don't ever fall down unless it's really God that takes you down. We don't fake anything, but we have the real. We don't have the fake. But honestly, a lot of times we won't feel the presence until he has possession of us. Does God have possession of you? Then you're going to get the presence a whole lot more. If he doesn't have possession, then you might not be feeling the presence as much. But God's merciful. I mean, I think some of the times when I've been in my worst place, God visited me in a tangible way where I felt his presence. But I just want to tell you, on the long haul, every day, say, God, you have possession. And then I guarantee you're going to have his presence. You're going to sense his presence. The person who has controversies with God, do you actually think that in the garden, Adam and Eve, when they were hiding, felt the presence of God? No. They were in fear. They were in condemnation. They were covering themselves up. So when there's controversies in your life with God, areas of your life that have not been surrendered or yielded, presented, but in the minute that you present everything, the controversy's over. You've heard me say this. I've had many more issues with God than the devil. Because ultimately, the devil's not my biggest enemy. It's my fallen nature that lives within me that is my enemy. More than any other enemy. William Grinnell put it like this. He said, the devil's like the axe handle. No doubt. He's got a sharp blade. But your flesh is the handle. What that means is our flesh gives the devil leverage. Take an axe head and try and cut down a tree in your hand with an axe head. That's the devil. But if the devil can get your flesh, all of a sudden he's got a 3-foot leverage. He'll cut down any tree. With your flesh and the devil is a bad formula. It's a bad combination. We have one more step that we're going to be talking about. And because of the time, I don't want to get into it today. This was a review. But it's called walking in the Spirit. It's the end game of God. It's really what God was after. Pentecost, where God comes, fills and floods entirely a person, is what God has been after this whole time. That what God wants more than anything else is a body that he can use, that he can be in fullness. Is that not, as a Christian, what you want? Okay. And so we're going to be talking about walking in the Spirit. If we could stand on our feet. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, you've told us the newness of life, lifestyle. You've said that there's a possibility, that there is a destiny for us, that you said we've been called that for the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Church, look up here again. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. You've been called for the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is not a cloud. That is not just a good feeling inside you. You have been called to walk like Christ, to walk like God. That is our destiny. That is our purpose. That is our heritage. Think about it. Christ in you, Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is what God wants. He wants a body filled and flooded with Himself. He wants us to walk with Him, it says, in the cool of the day in Genesis 3. Remember when Adam and Eve were hiding? And it says that in the cool, they could hear the voice of God in the cool of the day. That word cool is spirit. It's the same word that where you get the word spirit. And so the idea is that Adam and Eve, in their innocence, before they sinned, that this was a habit, a daily practice of God coming in the spirit of the day, walking with them, and they could hear His voice. I tell you, God was singing in the garden. And so, yeah, they fell, they sinned, and they were now fallen from the glory. But I want to tell you, through Christ, we've been restored back to that which, even much more as the new creation, much more than Adam had. But we have now the glory of His presence within us, manifesting that presence out of us to where it is Christ that is manifesting. And where in Christ we see God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now in our faces, the world sees Jesus. We're manifesting glory, His glory, His presence. Action step as we close in this prayer. What would be the thing today that you're willing to lay down? Are you willing to lay it all down? To the point of decrease will be the point of increase of Him. John the Baptist says, I must decrease so He can increase. How many of you say, I have an area of my life where Adam has been dominating me? I present that to the Lord right now. I lay that down. I acknowledge it's dead. I acknowledge that area. I say, I know that my old man is dead there. I reckon it so, and then by faith in that area, some of you, it's your marriage. Say, I'm walking. I declare today, I have a new creation marriage. I'm walking as a new creation man or woman in my marriage. I'm going to walk as a new creation father or mother toward my children. I'm going to walk as a new creation person at work. I say now unto Him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above and beyond all that I ask, think, dream of, or dare to imagine. God, You're at work within me. I present myself to You. Holy Spirit, now walk in me. Walk with me. May I be led by You. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. I am the house of God, the habitation of God by the Spirit. The fullness of God now is abiding within me. Say this prayer, Jesus, thank You so much for eternal life, that You paid so great a price that I might have eternal life. God forbid that I would live a life that would never be able to tap into eternal life. I surrender all. I present all. I offer my life to You as a body for You to use. Thank You for this great honor of being Your body, being the light and the salt in this world. Jesus, I present myself now. Fill me afresh with the Holy Spirit. Baptize me now in the Holy Spirit and fire. Thank you, Jesus, for this overcoming life. Newness of life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what do you say we give the Lord a hand clap this morning? Oh, we thank you, Lord. Amen. If you need prayer, would you please come forward? We're going to pray for you at the altar. We have some sweet fellowship outside. Please don't leave. Let's be together a little bit as we enjoy the food and fellowship outside. And then we will pray for you at the altar.